Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Good morning, everybody. Keith over here, broadcasting live from DeVille Square. And I have on the other line with me a Mr. Dana Oliver, Senior Director of Research and Development at Medtronic. Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Good morning, Keith. I am doing great. Thank you. And I want to say it's a pleasure to be part of Pensacola Business Radio and to be a guest.
Well, great, man. We are glad to have you. Have you ever been to Pensacola?
I have not, although I do live in Florida. I've been to a lot of locations in Florida, but not Pensacola yet.
Well, now we're going to have to get you here. You know that, right? That was totally a setup.
Absolutely.
So, okay, so you just wrote this book that I think is looks to be very, very interesting. So let's talk about that for a minute. You want to give us a little background?
Sure, absolutely. Why don't I, maybe brief the audience. You know, for me, I've spent the last 14 years of my career at Medtronic Surgical Technologies, which is located in Florida. You know, we're in Jacksonville. And during this 14 years, I've helped grow this business unit from $100 million to approximately $2 billion in annual revenues. And Mantra Design is my second book. My first book was Mantra Leadership. And what I've been trying to do is I think that people and business, you know, deserve better. And so I've been trying to write some of my best practices into my books. And they're, in essence, a self-help business guide to, you know, to help entrepreneurs and business leaders.
And okay, so tell me, what is the difference between the leadership as in comparison to design?
Sure. So what I did is when I started writing a couple of years ago, I started with one book, but then I realized, you know, that leadership as well as innovation have both, you know, have their own merits in and by themselves. So I ultimately broke the topic into two. But with that said, it's somewhat conflicting for me because I run research and development. So to me, you know, there's business leadership, but there's also innovation leadership. And at the end of the day, what's crucially important is emotionally intelligent leadership, irrespective, you know, if you're on the business side of the equation or marketing or sales or research and development.
Yeah. And so I've got a quote here that you have is innovation is the lifeblood of any company's continued growth and future survival. And I would say that that is probably one of the most profitable statements anyone could ever read.
You know, it's funny, Keith, is that, you know, for me, I have four tenets, but one of the tenets that I prescribe to in business is that, I aspire to see a business reinvest 10% of its total revenues back into organic research and development. And when you do that, what it allows as a business is it allows continued differentiation of your products. And when you begin to do that, it makes it very difficult for any competitors to catch up with you. But more importantly, when you're forever differentiating, you're allowing your sales team to be always energized. They can go back in front of your customers. Your customers see that you're listening to them, that you're continually inventing product and technology. And so they like to partner with you. And in anywhere in business, there's always partners that you want to link up with. And everyone wants to be with the best partner. You know, so the people that are in the forefront, that's who ultimately you want to dance with.
You know, and something that I see as well on the business side, you know, you use the word innovation, and I know a lot of people may get sidetracked and think that that has to do with technology or like with the healthcare, but let's take that down to the, or can you take it down to the smaller level? I mean, let's talk about some of the service companies and how does this Mantra Design apply to somebody who's maybe not in technology?
Sure. I think that's a great question. You know, again, I talked about my foundational principles. You know, one of the things is develop your technology and or services through your customer's eyes. And what I mean by that is if you really want to develop some breakthrough technology, to an example, think of Disney, for example, right here in Florida. Disney, one of the reasons they're so good is they look at the entire experience, the entire ecosystem of their customers. So everything from bright clothes to smiles to no trash, all those things are just phenomenal, as well as, you know, obviously it's pretty expensive price, but when you get to hang around Disney for, 15 or 16 hours in a day, you know, what better entertainment and price for the value is that? So,
yeah.
You know, I look at ecosystems, and I think that's what I would prescribe to, you know, the listening audience here is, if you learn your customer's world, you know, what are the needs that they're talking to you about, but what are the ones that they're not talking to you about? And when you begin to understand their pain points, well, that's a real opportunity to satisfy a need that they have.
Yeah, very well said. And I am a Disney fan myself, and the culture that they have created, even to the language that everybody uses when speaking, is fantastic.
The lengths that they go to are just unprecedented.
Yeah, yeah, and you're right. Imagine applying that even to maybe your HVAC company or even like you have done here with the medical stuff. What a way to really find some needs to fill.
Yeah, it's certainly. I mean, it's very rewarding working in the medical device space, just because you're solving humanity's problems, and it's great at the end of the day or at the end of the week when you launch a product and have a great success, and that you can say, "Boy, you're helping people."
Yeah,
it's certainly very fulfilling.
So, why the title Mantra Design? Are you back there chanting?
that's a great question and funny too. Part of my style is part of leadership. The importance is to be consistent and concise and simple. And so if you look at leadership all over the world, especially during the political season, it's about messaging. So one of the ways I message is I use mantras. So, we just talked about, one of the mantras is I tell my guys, learn your customer's world. Or innovation begins with an I, not the letter I, but the eyeball. So, if I'm talking to your audience again here, and even small business owners, boy, if you have a product idea or services, you really want to become intimate with your customer base, and you want to watch them and observe them in their craft. Because when you do that, then and only then, when you can get to a very peer level, you'll understand the things that they're telling you, but then you can understand the things they're not. And the things that are unarticulated are the real breakthrough technologies that can make a business. And that's how I've kind of made a career.
Very good. Well, I, for one, enjoy mantras because I think things have to be repeated over and over to not only hear it, but you have to feel it, and then you can finally relate to it and absolutely do something with it. So when this came across my email, I was very, very intrigued.
Oh, thank you for that. Yeah, like I said, leadership, you have to be consistent.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you don't have a great deal of time to communicate at terrible length. But so if you use common phrases and ideologies, your people will begin to cue into who you are as a leader, and it makes it easier. So, I've got lots of mantras. It takes a long time to get the simple. So when my guys are struggling, when we're working on a product development in medical, it could take years. And it's all about solving challenges. And I tell them all the time, they'll come in and say, "Hey, look, maybe we've had a failure or a setback." And it's like, that's okay. That's part of life. If it was easy, anyone could do it. But at the end of the day, it takes a long time to get to simple. Simple doesn't happen. You create simple over iteration after iteration until, the product becomes so seamless that it appears simple. But
yeah.
Simple is the effort is great. Effort.
Yeah, almost like it was just meant to be there, right?
Oh, that's the best designs that you can do. I think that's what's so beautiful about Apple and, their ecosystem. When you join them, they do a phenomenal job.
Yeah. Okay, so I have to ask, when you talk about a company making $50,000 in revenue a year to $100,000 to $1 million to $2 billion, does your thought process change in the way that that company is run, or is it
It
has to. And so how does that change for you? Because I'm very curious, because I would like to operate $2 billion in revenue and would like to know the secrets.
Yeah. I think in business, you think about it when you're, when you're only a few $100,000, at the end of the day, that means you're ultimately strapped for cash.
Right.
When cash is king. So you have to really begin to think, what is the single biggest and most successful thing on my plate that day to help me with the top line? So that I talk about the very few strategic initiatives and the smallest business owners, the entrepreneurs and the startups, the best advice I can give you is every morning when you wake up and every, you know, night before you go home, ask that fundamental question, what is the single most important thing I need to do to make the day a success? Because when you're small, you have just dozens, if not hundreds, of things on your plate to do. Now, the same thing as you start to grow and grow, the message is, you know, culture is a byproduct of leadership, and goals get tainted, and, you know, people don't understand the end game. So when you start to get really big, boy, messaging is instrumentally more important. Imagine having one employee compared to having 100 or having 10,000. You can begin to imagine trying to get everyone aligned.
And a whole lot left for interpretation, right?
That's absolutely true. And that's why, again, for me, communication is essential. And, you know, you'll hear me talk many, many times about emotionally intelligent leadership. And that's, you know, you want to understand people. You want to hire, you know, great people. But you need to learn to listen to people, because if you think you're the smartest person in the room, well, who wants to partner with you? Who wants to work with you? So not only do you hire smart people, you listen to smart people, and then you empower them. And it's amazing to me when you set direction and establish the demarcations about what people can do and can't do, and you let them loose, boy, you know, they'll move mountains, but then also they'll find solutions that you could never imagine in your lifetime.
Yeah, very neat. So when you speak about emotional intelligence, let's talk about that for a second, because I'm with you. You can send a message out, but I think if you can find a way to relate through feeling with that message, that seems to be a lot more powerful, doesn't it?
Oh, my Lord. When you can connect with people, and I think that's what the best leaders do, is that, you know, the reality is that, you know, you think about, you know, a lot of leadership and you think about people that are smart, and being smart's important. But when you look at IQ compared to emotional intelligence, when you look at the difference between a good leader and a great leader, great leaders, you know, have mastered at some level about 50% of the emotional intelligent qualities and skills. So, you know, when you think about emotional intelligence, a lot of people think, oh, it's just empathy. Well, it's more than empathy. You know, you talked about, do you have a vision? Do you communicate well? Can you connect with people? You know, are you a good listener? Can you sense things from people? And the best leaders have this ability to connect. You can be in a room of 100 people, but when you meet someone special and they have, you know, when they think of a through emotional intelligence, they'll look you in the eye. They'll call you by your first name. They'll remember some subtlety in a conversation, maybe the next time you meet them. And these are all skills that you work at to master emotional intelligence. But when you do that, people feel vested. I mean, I'm sure, you know, Keith, in your lifetime, you've had bosses that you just felt like, my God, they have an interest in my career.
Oh, sure.
That their interest is sincere. I mean, how did that make you feel? I mean, probably fantastic, right?
Well, I would say that those jobs were the ones that I was definitely the most successful at, because it was more of a collaboration as opposed to just, you know, do the task at hand and go home.
And that's why I preach, you know, EI, is that people need to think of it not as a competency, but as a leadership style. And when people, and as a leader, when you employ, you know, emotional intelligence leadership, you can increase your team's productivity by as much as 30%. So imagine if you're, you know, a small business owner and you have, you know, two people. Boy, if you could, you know, increase that capacity by 30%, you effectively can get another person's worth of work, you know, out of your small complement. But it all starts with you invest in people. And part of the way to invest in people is, example, you might not be able to pay them all the money that they think they might deserve, but if you invest in their future and their career, and what I mean by that is you can help educate them. You can help them with their business acumen. You know, you can help them to think different. You can help them to look at things strategically. You can invite them to say, boy, how can you help me grow our business? And, you know, when people feel vested into the strategy of a business, that is the that is always better than golden handcuffs.
Yeah, I agree. And it's not always the money sometimes. You're right. You can, by adding some value to people and to their lives, it, to me, seems a lot more powerful sometimes than even the dollar bill at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's absolutely, true. And that's why it's interesting when when there's these surveys done around the country, the people that have the most fulfilling jobs are the people that are helping. You know, they feel like they control their own destiny. They're helping with humanity. But the same thing is true. People that are most fulfilled at their jobs feel like, they're like they're part of the company. They're invested in the company, and that, their presence, helps make it a better place. And when they're vested like that, boy, you're going to get their best.
Yeah. Okay. So one question. Actually, I have two questions that I always ask everybody that I talk to in interview. And the first one is, what has been your biggest failure? And then the second part to that is, what did you learn?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I fail every day, almost every day. I mean, again, I run a research and development company.
Yeah.
For Medtronic, so I have 100 scientists and engineers, and you can't be afraid to fail. And at the end of the day, successful people are not afraid to fail, but they're afraid to try. They're afraid to take a risk. So, you have to learn that, failure is acceptable. Obviously, and you can't, when employees fail, or you can't treat them badly, you can't yell at them. Failure, that's part of life, right? At the end of the day, core competence is predicated around failure. That's how you become great at what you do. But the key is you can't be afraid to take a risk. If you're afraid to take a risk, well, you're never going to get nowhere in life.
Right.
So to me, it's, you cannot be afraid to fail. And the successes are just, the byproduct of overcoming that.
Yeah. So, and I guess you're right. You probably hit 100 dead ends a day, don't you?
It's countless.
Yeah.
And so for me, and what's interesting too about leadership is that, a lot of people say, I have the big corner office and the, lots of windows, and I can look out, and people are like, "Oh, it's a great office." But the reality is that with leadership and reports and responsibility, you get more and more headache. The more you grow, the more problems that you have to solve. So that's why it's so important to have a positive attitude. And when people come in with you with a problem, if you want to have a positive culture and an honest culture, you have to say, when people come in, you have to say thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for helping me understand that issue. And then you'll get the full truth. And a lot of leaders, what they succumb to is that they're not very approachable. And so people, they don't want to get their head bitten off, right? Don't kill the messenger. And these people, what happens is when an employee comes in, you only get a partial truth, or they're trying to tell you what you want to hear versus what's true.
Yeah.
And that's why there's this big iceberg gap in business between leadership and, ultimately at the end of the day, staff and line workers.
Yeah.
If you really want to be great, you need to just have an open door. Look, at the end of the day, if you have someone who does, all he does is make mistakes, well, that's a different story, and you have to deal with that, right?
Sure, sure.
But, everybody, we're all human. Everyone's going to have errors.
Yeah, just try to limit them, right?
Just try to limit them. The key is learn. So if someone screws up, you accept that. But then what you try to do is shed light, and help and coach and mentor them on what's right. Now, if they don't learn, well, then I think maybe you have a deadbeat. And, that's, you can't have a bad apple, right? Because one bad apple will, spoil the bushel. So you need to remove that apple. And if you don't, then your really good employees will also not respect you.
Yeah.
So, I'm very positive, and I'm very encouraging and with my people, but, I can also be very tough.
Yeah. You have to be a realist at some point.
You do. Yeah. Yeah. It's about, life is a balance. Business is a balance. Everything's a balance in life.
Yeah. Okay. So my second question I always ask everybody is, how do you define success?
Yeah. That's one of those fantastic philosophical questions, right? For me, I'll be honest with you, my whole career, I wanted to run a world-class research and development company. So for me, ultimately coming, I have 30 years experience, I've got 25 patents, I've, been very successful in business, and, made, certainly some not very nice money. aside. But for me, it was that was success for me. It was, you know, Medtronic is the world's largest medical technology company, you know, and they have revenues of $28 billion. And for me to be offered a position to run the research and development for, you know, their ENT, NT division in Florida, boy, that was very flattering. And certainly for me, that was what made me successful. You know, now, it's a little different for me. Certainly you think of things monetarily, but for me, I want to give back. So I've been so successful that I think people deserve better and businesses deserve better. And that's why I wrote the books, is that they're a self-help guide.
Right. Which obviously, you know, if you want to continue to learn, you want to be a good leader, these are the things that you do. You dive into this stuff and implement what you can and see what works.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, best leaders, you become better at what you do by helping, you know, mentor and coach people. And the more you do that, you know, the better you are, the more disciples you have around you and your philosophies. And for me, it's interesting to me. I see that so much leadership in the country, there's a level of greed, which I do not prescribe to. I believe that, you know, businesses can establish themselves and find a very healthy and happy business medium, that stakeholders all get all reward in that merit. And I'm not a big believer that only shareholders should reap in the reward, or the people at the highest levels of a business. You know, I find it interesting. I walk down the corridor, and one of my goals, I try to learn everyone's name in our business. We have, you know, right here, you know, almost 700 people. I look people in the eye and say, good morning. My door is always open, you know, irrespective of how much responsibility I have. But yet some leaders, it's just they're brash, and they think that, you know, it's like sink or swim. I'm going to throw you out of the boat.
Right.
Boy, I don't prescribe to that at all. I mean, people will move mountains for you if you help them take an interest in career and you empower them.
Yeah. Very neat. Okay. So what's next for you, Dana?
Well, it's interesting. I plan to retire from Medtronic later this year in August, about 6 weeks away now. And, you know, one of the reasons I wrote the book is my book now is going to be my new resume. They're my new resume, right? It talks about, you know, my leadership philosophies. They talk about my innovation philosophies. And so I plan to become an independent consultant. You know, also, too, you know, someone with my credentials, I've been approached by some startup companies, which is, that's also very intriguing to me. It takes me back to where it all began.
Yeah. The creative level.
Bring my credentials and yeah, make full circle. And, you know, and some of the things I'm thinking about, I have some great ideas, and, you know, how exciting would it be to, you know, to kind of go independent and get away from this behemoth? You know,
yeah,
you know, I've done quite well at, but, you know, getting back to something small again, is very appealing.
Very cool. All right. Well, let's tell everybody where they can find your book and get in touch with you if they need to.
Yeah, thank you for that, Keith. You know, the best way is to go to my website, which is www.mantraleadership.com. So that's one word, mantraleadership.com. And what I do is, just like interviews like this, Keith, I post all my radio interviews that I've done, magazine interviews. People can get a preview of, you know, my philosophies. They can get a look at my book. I do guest writing for small businesses and larger things. I post them. So there's a lot of information there for people to listen and to take away, as well as you can access me through this site. And you can link out, you know, to, you know, things like Amazon to buy
sure.
my books.
Sure. And we are going to do the same as well. So we will of course share this interview across our sites and all of our lovely social media platforms and stuff. So we hope to get you a little bit more exposure, because I think this is really good material, and the circles that I'm in, I know that they're going to eat it up. So I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. So hang on for a moment. Let me get us out of here and stay on the line, because we've got a couple other things I'll need to fix.
Okay, got it. Thank
right,
you.
Thanks. Okay, guys, you can find us at PCola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at PCola BRX on Facebook, or you can find us at Pensacola.BusinessRadioX.com. This has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.